The next presentation is the one that we always wait for, and that's for Vice President Knorr to bring us a financial update. Walt, you have the floor.
By overwhelming popular demand, I will keep this very short. Nothing as much happened since our last board meeting. The governor made a budget address on February the 18th, and I'll talk about that in a few seconds. He also put out some executive orders, two executive orders in particular, 08 and 09. 08 was essentially to curb non-essential spending of the state appropriation dollars. And also we had to provide a listing of all of our hires between November and January under that executive order. We've complied with that. We believe we're certainly complying with the executive order 08. Besides, most of our state dollars are being used for payroll, and so and pretty much had been spent. 09 is essentially an ethics, and we are certainly in compliance. We believe we're in compliance with 09 and the executive order from the governor, and that particularly relates to the definition of what a state employee is, employment contracts, revolving door, all those kind of things. And we're certainly, being in compliance with that. We've been providing a lot of information, to the state legislature that they're requesting, everything from compensation levels, for management, and all the way to basically just basic definitions, what are restricted and what are unrestricted funds, what are administrative costs, but we're providing a lot of information through IBHE or directly to the legislature that they're requesting. Another event is ISAC cut off the awards on February the 22nd, the applications. This is the earliest they've ever cut off the applications for awards under the MAP program for the state of Illinois. Everybody knows that yesterday the courts heard the pension, the SB 1, Senate Bill 1, constitutionality of the pension, and all I would say is they heard the arguments yesterday, they took it under advisement, and we'll wait to see what they say, and that's all we can all say today. Good news is the board approved a big bond sale back in November, and we caught the market just right. A lot of it's luck, a lot of it's skill. But we sold $117 million auxiliary revenue bonds and saved almost 10%, which is a good, really good savings on that type of refunding, almost $10 million in interest savings from that financing. There's going to be, Senator Sullivan is calling a hearing on compensation, and that will probably not, it was originally going to be held next week, and now it's going to be held probably sometime in April. I think that this is, we just expect to, part of the process to go up there and basically answer the questions that they have about compensation levels at the university. Lastly, next Thursday, a week from today, we will be before the Senate and House Appropriations Committee. Representative Duncan, who's the Appropriations Chairman for Higher Education first, and then Senator Katowski, who's the Senate Appropriations Chairman, will be after that. So that'll be the big event. We're prepping for that event next week. Some quick comments on the governor's budget proposal. As he put it out, the state was $6 billion behind in making payments, and it excludes the Medicaid bills, which are always in process, probably to the tune of a billion plus dollars that are in process, and that's the January, the bills outstanding in January. The basic cut was 31.5% is what he proposed. That's $209 million, takes us down to $453 million from our 662 level that we're at right now. The hospital trust fund, that's another piece. They kept that steady at $45 million. We deposited that directly into the Medicaid trust fund. That's part of our GRF. They kept that whole, and we'll continue to do that. However, the state, they have their share of the contribution to the Medicaid trust fund. They reduced that by $25 million. And I think what's missing here is that basically by doing that, we're losing out on the federal match to those dollars for the hospital. So that has to be corrected, I think, and I think that should be corrected. They kept the Prairie Research Institute the same at $16.8 million, no change in that appropriation. They made some other minor adjustments to some of our other standalone appropriations also. one of the things I would add to the bottom of this list is they're still working on the FY15 budget. There's a $1.6 billion hole in the state's FY16 budget. There's a 2.25 rescission percolating, percolating for, and for us that would mean about $15, $16 million rescission. It might be percolating, they're talking about it. One of the things that's interacting is they have swept already about, are going to, proposing to sweep almost $600 million of special revenue funds into the GRF for 15, and they're talking about more sweeps of dollars, you know, from special revenue funds into the GRF to basically deal with FY15. But again, we do have this outstanding, is this concern that they still have to, you know, deal with the FY15 $1.6 billion hole, and we do have this 2.25 potential rescission circulating around us. I thought I would just basically give you some perspective on this this 31.5% cut, and going back to $452 million, you can see in nominal dollars that level of $452 million would take us back in nominal dollars to our 1986 appropriation level. But if you put it in constant dollars, it takes us back to the late 50s. And so, and today, and that's what this presents, that today, we're, if you look to the right side, 78,000 students. If you look to the left side, the late 50s, it was 26,000 students. So this could give you some perspective on what you know, what's happened here. But in fairness to the state, I think I have to again tell you that this is the healthcare costs that the state pays. They again they pay the employer share, the university share of healthcare costs for our employees. And this is the rise in 15. We're expecting it to be pretty close to $490 million, and almost $500 million in healthcare costs. And we pay the red at the top, we pay about $25 million of those costs. The rest is paid for by the state. And I think in fairness, you know, they're picking up this tab. However, I think we have to be wary. They are talking about the university and employers picking up an additional share of healthcare costs, and that's going to be in play here in this session. The second thing, of course, is the retirement benefits. This is the other one where basically they're paying almost $660 million in retirement benefits for the university, the employer share of retirement benefits. Again, the composition of how much is the normal cost, which is the current cost, and how much is the unfunded liability, the amortization of the unfunded liability. But the bottom line here is, again, there's a serious talk about a cost shift, and basically having the university start to pick up a share of that cost. So even though that's where it is right now, but I just want to keep, you know, wary that we are going to be, you know, probably looking at some type of cost shift as part of this process, this legislative process. Quick snapshot on what we're doing as far as the appropriation. We are owed today from our appropriation, we're pretty much fully billed to the state, but we're owed $325 million on our receivable. On that $662 million, you know, total appropriation, we're owed $325 million. This is pretty much consistent with last year's flow. It's dramatically better than 2 years ago when in March we got over the $500 million mark as far as our receivable. So that's just a quick snapshot of where we stand with the receivable. Quickly with the hospital, right now through January, we have a net operating loss of $7.1 million. I think we've told you that we're concerned about having a loss of four, and we've talked about it for FY15 and trying to curb that, the size of that loss. I think they're doing a good job, certainly doing a good job of trying to curb that, the size of that loss. But we are seeing the results of Medicaid reduction and Medicaid reimbursement rates. We're seeing, of course, the adjustment as we go from fee-for-service to the affordable care and managed care. So we are seeing that. We also had to basically deal with a potential strike back in October, and basically the costs associated with dealing with that potential strike back in October. But that's the status of the operating statement. There's one thing that I wanted to bring up. There was some confusion in the initial when the budget was put out that the state was saying, oh, well, the universities can draw on their endowments almost on a dollar for dollar basis. That's not true. I mean, frankly, our endowment, and this is the size of the endowment as of the end of FY14, It's $2.3 billion. This is the foundation the university can combine endowment that we're holding. But the dollars that come out of that are basically from the earnings on the principal, on the dollars that are in that endowment. And those dollars are also dictated by the donor, where those dollars go. They're not fungible for purpose of a dollar-for-dollar replacement and loss of an appropriation. So we have to be very, you know, careful about that. And I think there's just a misunderstanding about how that, how our endowment works. I just wanted to also, as long as we're talking about the endowment, I wanted to show that, the university's endowment had good growth in probably the third highest growth in fiscal year 14 as far as how the endowment grew. It's interesting, you know, kind of see Northwestern in front of us. The interesting was Michigan State with their big jump. But when I looked into it, they're in the middle of a campaign, so they're having a big pop in, from their campaign. They're in the public campaign. So we did very well as far as growth of the endowment in 14. The other thing is how much money does come to the university from the endowment. Last year, $175 million came to the university from the endowment. I think Chancellor Weisel, we talked about that. One of the big reasons for the big pop is the Granger gift. Basically, that cash came over, particularly for engineering, and that's one of the reasons for the big pop. Of that $175 million, approximately $50 million was actually from the earnings from the endowment. That's basically the pass through, the pay through. The rest of it is direct flow through of contributions to the university. The new numbers are out with regard to research dollars. These are the most current numbers. It's FY13, but actually the University of Illinois moved up from 7th to 5th place as far as research nationally in the national rankings. And one of the reasons, of course, that they moved up from that is basically the pop that really came from the supercomputer, from the dollars from the supercomputer is one of the reasons that they popped to that. But to give you that perspective on research at the university. Last couple of slides, concentration on administrative costs. These are the current dollars, administrative costs, and we call it institutional support. These are the administrative dollars that basically, this is UA, and it basically is the administrative costs of the chancellors and provost offices at the campuses. And you can see that, here, with including the hospitals, we're about 5.5% of our costs of the university are in administrative costs in this institutional support. And you can see we will fare very well against our peers as far as our costs, our administrative costs. If you take out the hospitals, and these are the most current numbers again, again, we fare very well. Again, Michigan and Iowa basically move because of the size of their hospitals. That's why it moves. But again, faring very well as far as our costs, our administrative costs, our institutional support. Lastly, my last slide. This is the final rack up of tuition fees and housing. The only change is really from what you saw in January is what you're basically hopefully going to approve today is in the cost of health insurance for the students. And of course, the students can opt out if they do have family health insurance, they do have a program. And one of the big, it popped pretty good this year at UIC and at Springfield. At UIC in particular, it popped because of compliance with the Affordable Care Act. We had to lift the benefit caps on things. We had to lift all the caps on the lifetime guarantees, and that was costly to us. And again, the same thing about almost $200 million increase at UIC, about $160 million on an annual basis at UIC. It's a smaller group, so the claims basically are spread over a smaller group at UIS. So anyway, that's the final rack up, for the next academic year. And with that, I just wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day, and I'm done.
Open to questions for Walt. Two things I would add. First of all, the comment on endowment and where we ranked in endowment. I don't know exactly what it was, but I know. We were at a foundation board meeting a couple weeks ago, and that's something that the foundation board is really wanting to look at and work on is how to increase that total endowment as it has the opportunity to cover some of our operating costs, particularly in the academic area. I think the second thing I'd comment on your slide about administrative costs, that's at the university level. There's additional administrative costs throughout the university that's not really accounted for there. So there's another another area of administrative costs that we've got to be sensitive to and understand also.
Yeah, there is certainly, we have provide information on the academic support. That's where we also have administrative costs and academic support. Also in students' services, there are administrative costs in student services, and we also have those type of peer comparisons, you know, for those dollars too.
Right. Further questions, comments for Walt? All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.